just want to worship in a way this morning. Let's go ahead and let the music sit down their seats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. He's happy. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning. I want to title this Projecting Love. Projecting Love. Kind of like this projector projects an image on the screen. You want to project love. Yeah. We'll start by reading a very familiar scripture, John 3:16. St. John 3:16. We probably all have this memorized, as does probably most of the Christian world. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then I want to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Again, she has that up here. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And then for our main reading, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read the entire chapter, 13 verses. 1 Corinthians 13, this is Paul speaking. "For though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and have not charity," and charity here is love in action, "and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." It's a big order, isn't it? "Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Let's just pray. Lord, we just want to give this whole entire service to you this morning and ask God that you would just speak your words into the hearts of your people. There's not a man on this earth that can do that, Lord. It only comes from you. And so we surrender ourselves today and ask God that you'd speak your word, your eternal word, right into the hearts of your children, your sheep, Lord, that they would benefit thereby. We pray, God, that you'd just take all aspects of this service into your hands now. We give it to you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Enjoy the song service. Amen. And I would like to encourage everyone to do what our sister sung there and just say this to yourself. Right now, I am choosing to believe. And we want to do that. Don't just say it. Just actually stop and think for just a moment. Of everything God has done and everything that's going on, and just say, right now, I choose to believe. Amen. And I'm sure God will respond to that. And so, I want to get into this morning, projecting love. You know, mentioned quite often, you know, how that as we travel through this life, life is we're traveling down like a road map or a road. And God's word, as Brother Ram said, God's word is the road map that we are using as we travel towards glory. That's the only road map we have, right? When you go somewhere, you know, we have GPS now, but when you go somewhere and you've never been there, you need something to guide you there. Otherwise, they don't tell where you'll go. And there's maps that will tell you and signs along the way. And, you know, as you're traveling, when you're planning to go somewhere, as you're traveling, you expect to look out your windshield and out your windows, and you expect to see things that match what the map says should be where you're at, right? And so as we go through life's journey, we should look at the map, the road map, and we should be able to look at that and look out into our life and see manifesting around us and in us and through us everything that the road map says should be here in this hour, right? So we don't live in Moses' day or, you know, Luther or Wesley's day. We live in this day. And in this day right now, there's things that we should look and see happening in our lives, right? And of course, we can't see it if it's not on the roadmap, right? Because, you know, but if it's on the roadmap and we're traveling through it, we should see those things manifested in our life. And that helps us to know we're right on track and we're going to make it to our destination place. And so we should be looking for experiences in our life to match up with what the word said for this hour, right? Amen. For believers in this hour. So God does have a bride. And so it's like in the scriptures, you know, when Joshua was going to bring the children of Israel, Moses had done his part, and Joshua was going to cross over Jordan. And the scripture said to the people, said, "You've not gone this way before." And that's what I say. I've never been in a rapture before. I've never walked this life's path before, right? That every day is a place you've never been before. And since we've never been there before, we need some sort of direction, some sort of map to help us along the way, right? And so with Joshua, the scripture said, "You've never been this way before. You don't know where you're headed." And so the people were commanded. It said, when you see the priest, pick up that Ark of the Covenant. And that Ark represents the Word. And when you see the priest pick that Ark up and they begin to take off and travel with it, you rise up from behind them and you follow them and follow that, because it's going to take you a place you've never been before. And of course it said to follow about 2,000 paces or whatever behind them. So there was a distance of 2,000 behind them. And so I often look at that and say, you know, that Christ the Word rose up and we saw him enter into glory. Right? And 2,000 years later, we are to rise up and we're to enter into that same glory in through a rapture. Right? So we know there's compound meaning, compound revelation. But in this day, what the scripture's telling us there in that when you see the ministry, you see the word, because the ministry can't preach it if it's not in the word, right? Unless they're false preachers. But when it's in the word and you see the preachers begin to preach that and you begin to see that manifest and you see that in the word it is laying there for your day and the victory of your day, then you rise up and you follow that because it's going to take you right in. And so look at all the things that we as the church world has not known, that now we are able to look into the word and we are able to see it. Right? We're able to see. The word is now spoken. It has risen up. And in our day, there's been a ministry that where, in essence, the priest has picked up the ark and has now traveled. And now we can follow it. And we'll follow it right into a body change. Right. See? And so we have to look for what's supposed to be here. And then we have to want that in our lives. We have to say, you know what, God, I see it in your word. It's not just seeing and knowing seven seals and all those things like that, but I'm saying that because of what I'm speaking on this morning, that it has been shown to us in this day. There is such a thing as divine love, there is such a thing as love being projected, and there's such a thing as the results you can get from that, right? We have seen it in the Word, and so we're commanded to rise up in our walk, in our experience, and follow that because it's been presented to us. Amen? And so, when you read the scriptures there, it said, where it said, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything with God. You know, probably all peoples would like to think that they're God's people. I remember one time just witnessing, talking at work, and one time, and I said something. I was just talking about the Jewish people back in the Old Testament. I said, they're God's chosen people. And there was a man there from Congo, I think it was. Kinshasa was the town he was from. But he took very strong offense when I said the Jewish people were God's chosen people, just, you know, from the natural standpoint. He just very quickly got very angry. He said, I like to think that I'm God's chosen people. And so, you know, people everywhere, nobody wants to hear that they're wrong. Everybody wants to believe, well, I'm right. Everything, you know, like the scripture said, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death, right? No man's right. He's right. The Word is right, but man's not, right? And we've got to, through the Word of God, we've got to get out of ourselves. Because if we live our life, we're going to hurt and destroy people all around us. Right? We've got to get out of ourselves and get into that Word that's been presented before us and let that be the life that we live. And if we don't do that, when we're just going to keep, there's just going to be a wake of terror behind us, right? Because that's what lays in the human person. Right. That's why we're commanded. And so, everybody likes to think they're God's people, but the scripture said here that it's not, you know, you're like, well, it was the Jewish people. No, it's not. According to scripture, if you want to know what avails with God, what has a pull on God, what will make him pay attention, it's not that you're a Jew, or not that you're a Gentile, right? Not circumcision or uncircumcision. But what is it that gets God's attention? It's faith. And the scripture's faith says faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. In other words, if you want to have faith in action, there's got to be some love behind it to make it happen. Right? Faith which worketh by love. Brother Branham, I'm going to read several quotes this morning. Hope that's okay. In Desperations, Brother Branham says, now, the word plainly states, if you want to put it down in Galatians 5, 6, that faith worketh by love. See, faith worketh by love, and the only way that you can have faith is to have love first, because after all, faith is love's incentive. Incentive, that's exactly what faith is an incentive to love. Now, if you don't love, if you don't have love, you can't have faith. See, how can you have faith in your wife if you don't love her? He said, that's filio. And now, how about agape to God? Talking about the two different types of love there. How can it be if you don't love God? If you said you love your wife and you never tell her about it, and you never sit down and make love to her and express to her it to her and kiss and hug her and tell her she's the best cook in the country and all the things that you know and how pretty she is and how much you love her, if you don't do that, she'll never know. Right, brothers?
Right.
You can tell my wife's a good cook. I tell her, but you can tell it just by looking. Right? Tell her. He said, that's the way. If you do love her, you express it. Think about it. If you really love, you're going to do something about it. There's action that follows real love.
Right?
Right? And so, he said, that's the way we do God. We love him. We tell him about it. We sit down and we adore him and worship him. See, love drives us to that. You know, you can say, well, God knows. God knows my heart. He knows I love him. But you need to tell him. You need to speak to him. You need to tell him. You worship him. Adore him. Just like we do our spouses and our children and so forth. So love will drive us to action, right? And the action that comes by God's love is faith. That's the action. Right. If you love someone, you do something about it. But if it's the love of God that comes, the thing that does something is a faith that can go out and accomplish things that you can't do yourself, even in your human love. And so we got to have faith. We have to have love in order to have faith. And so, but yet, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, if she'll put it up real quick, we must have love, but look here. He's talking of end time, right? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So if their love waxes cold, then there's probably not much faith going on in their life, because faith is worked by love, right? No wonder the world is in the condition it's in, because of iniquity abounds. And you know what iniquity is? Is when you know you shouldn't do it and you do it anyway, or you know you should do it and you don't do it, whichever way, but you know better. You know better. Now the scripture says, blessed is the man that God will not impute iniquity. And under the blood of Jesus Christ, God doesn't impute iniquity to you. Right? We all make mistakes. But when iniquity is allowed to abound in our lives, our love will wax cold. Our love for God and our love for one another. And we live in a generation that he just said, that's one of the things we fight in this day, is the fact that there's not enough love in the hearts of people. But it's not to be that way in the house of God. It's not in God's people. We have to have love, because if you really love properly, you're going to act properly. Things are going to happen because there's a love there that drives it. Love is the strongest force there is. And the scripture said God is love. Right? So if love is the strongest force, obviously it has to be God, because he's the strongest. Right? So when iniquity abounds in our lives, just remember that. See, we are, as Christians, we are challenged to deal with things in our life that we know better, that we should be. And so when we don't address those things and iniquity abound, just remember that's chipping away and eating away at love in your life. Your love for God, your love for one another. And so think about your marriage. When transgressions against your spouse is happening, what happens? You know, people get to marry and they love each other, and then next thing you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years later, they fall out of love. And you have to ask yourself, why? What happened? It's because iniquity, because one transgression after another, one strike after another against the spouse, doing something to hurt, doing something to harm, not living up to responsibility, not being what you're supposed to be for your family. One transgression after another chips away at that love. Am I right? Chips away at that love until finally that person, they don't want to be around you no more. Right? So when iniquity abounds, both in natural but in our spiritual walk, when iniquity abounds, the love that we should have in our hearts begins to wax cold. And if love waxes cold, then you're not going to have great measures of faith that going on in your life. Brother Bram says in another sermon called Believest Thou This, he's speaking about Mary. When Mary was pregnant, had Jesus there in her womb, and she came to Elizabeth. And Brother Bram says, I can see Mary, see her getting up there in Judea to share the blessing. And I can see Elizabeth sitting, maybe doing her knitting. And when she seen Mary coming, she threw aside her crocheting or knitting or whatever it was, and she ran out there and grabbed her in her arms and began to hug her and kiss her. Brother Bram said, well, they had feelings. They had feelings for one another, right? That's what he's talking about. He said, you know what's the matter with people today? We're getting away from that. They don't feel for one another. Why, it used to be back when I was a kid, if the neighbor got sick, why, we went over there and we cut the wood for them. And we helped help them fill the silo and cut their corn, and mama would go down and wash up the kids and get their breakfast for them and when somebody was sick. But now you don't know that your neighbor is dead unless you read it in the paper. It's kind of ironic because my wife just looked up yesterday to see if one of our neighbors up on the corner had died. Because they're kind of, you know, up the road a little bit. But here's the prophet saying it. He said, there's no feeling. The Bible said, because iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There it is. Well, when my daddy would need $50, he'd go over to borrow it from a farmer friend, and he'd pay him back when he sold his crop. He said, why, you can't even borrow $5 now without a $50 security. That's right, no feeling, no trust. God have mercy on a people falling away. He associated that kind of action with the people that's falling away from the word, from the Lord. Amen? And so, Brother Branham says in Hebrews chapter 3, part 3, sermon. He said, Brother Sable and I and Brother Wood were coming down in Kentucky where we had been 3 days, and we passed through this housing project. And Brother Sable said, he said, there's not hardly any of these people in that project that even goes to church. It's a big housing complex. Nobody went to church there. And Brother Bram said, you'd ask him, and they'd say, well, we got television. That's how we find our comfort, see? That's the American attitude, see? We got television. We got plenty of money. We got fine cars, got nice homes, and we don't need, what do we need with the Lord? We don't need that, and that's the attitude. And Brother Van said this is what I'm getting to. And about the only religion and salvation we have and love is among real godly people. You know the Bible said that would happen? You Bible readers, I heard hollering amen, and you preachers back there, that's right. The love would be so far away in the last days that the only love there would be left would be between the elect of God's people. The father would be against the mother against father, the children against parents, and the different ones against one another. And the only love that would be left would be just that of the elect. And just the word elect there, it comes from the word elected, God's elected people. And we look out and we see that. Parents against children, children against parents, brothers against sisters, all this nonsense and all this drama and all these things. Why? Because love's missing. Right. That's what it is. You know, we have to admit, so many people, you know, and even ourselves, we have to admit, when you do something, there's consequences to it, whether that's good or bad. And so we just have to remember, like I said a while ago, when iniquity abounds, then you know love is waxing cold. And so, but according to the scriptures, that in God's people, there would be love. And if there's love, then faith can work by love. So, you know, there's two kinds of love we're familiar with. There's actually some other ones, one or two more, that's really not even worthy of talking about. But in this concept here, there is filial love. I hope I'm saying that right. That's just the human love that we would have for our wives or something like that. Filial love. And then there's agape love, which is God's love. And our human filial love can come and go. It's very heavily affected by the way we feel. You say, oh, I love my wife. Right? I love my wife. But you let her start turning her back on you and ignoring you and mistreating you indefinitely from now on, how much longer are you going to keep feeling that way? Right? So human love, remember, God is in a class of his own, right? Right? That's the way he has characteristics about him that just you don't find in humans, right? And that's why I say, let's don't bring God down and limit him to human limitations, right? God knows how to forget something that's under the blood. So let's make sure we know that he does that and quit trying to bring it down and say, well, he still remembers. Not if you put it under the blood, he doesn't. So God has these characteristics, and his love is a whole lot different than ours. We have limitations in how we can forgive and forget and all the things like that. We have limitations as humans. And our love for one another is very, very much affected by emotions and things like that. There's days where you feel really in love with your wife, and there's some days you just don't like her at all, or vice versa, right? My wife's shaking her head, you know? But that's human love. It rises and it wanes and it goes, you know? And would you want God as the judge of the universe? Would you want God as your judge? Would you want him to have filial love? Because brother, sister, we would be done for if that's the kind of love he had. Because we turn our back and we fail and we walk away. And what would he do if he had filial love? Right? And you know as well as I do. You may say, oh, I not me. I love my family or my wife or my husband. You let them start mistreating you and see what happens. Because there's a limit to how much a person in their own human capacity can put up with anything. That's right. See? And so we have to remember that. But God's love, agape love, is different. It's not got those limitations. God's love, so filial love, is, oh, I just love the way she makes me feel. My heart just feels so wonderful, right? Because she loves me and she lets me know and she fixes me a drink and all that, and you just feel so much. But what if she stops doing that? Right? Young people get married and they have such high expectations, too high. And they, oh, everything's so wonderful when they're dating and they first get married. And then it changes. Life does that. Things get in. Selfishness begins to manifest itself. And then troubles come up, right? And so that's the kind of things that happen. And so when that happens, you know, it can start chipping away. And now all of a sudden you don't feel in love as much as you used to. Right? Is that the truth? Yeah. All right? And so, say sick him to me once in a while. Say amen once in a while. Right? I know probably I'm plowing a little bit. That's fine. And so, but God's love is not like that. God's love, you know, we read there just a minute ago that there's a characteristic about charity. And notice that it refers to it to charity as her. Oh, interesting. But charity seeketh not its own. It's not puffed up. Charity believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. So we're talking about something that's pretty powerful. That it can endure all things. So when your spouse no longer is treating you nice, God's kind of love can endure that. But human love can't. Only so long human love can, right? So, God's love is not based upon the way God feels about us, right? This is hard to comprehend, but with God's love, it's based solely upon what's good and well for that person who's being loved. Right? Yeah. It's not how they act, not what they do, not what they don't do, because that's all works-based, and that means that filial love would respond to it. Works-based, you love them one day when they're good to you, not the next day, because they're not. But God's love is not like that. God's love loves them regardless. And it's that kind of love that can endure all things and overcome all things. It's that kind of love. And so, you know, when the scripture said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that was not filial love that God was using. We can't even, I can't even say that God has filial love. Right? Because that's emotional. That's based upon works and all that sort of thing.
Right.
And I know you can see scriptures where it looks like God gets mad and he changes his mind and all that. And all those things are laying there so that you could begin to come to the real revelation is that God doesn't change. And his love doesn't change. And so if he ever loved you before the world was, he loves you tonight, or today, not tonight.
Right.
I thought this morning I went to McDonald's and asked for ice water, and she gave it to me and said, "Have a good evening." Well, I said, "She doesn't even know it's morning time." And then I'm sitting here saying, "Tonight." So, we're all guilty of what everybody else is guilty of, right? We're all in the same boat. We have limitations. And so God's love is based upon the welfare, well-being of the one who's being loved. In filial love, it's like, "Oh, I love the way they make me feel." Right? But when that goes away, what happens?
Right. Yeah.
So, God's love is unconditional. He can't change it. Yeah. And you can't either. Yeah. Amen. And so when you love someone, as you're walking this pathway, now remember, the Word has risen up and gone before us in our day, and this is one of the things that has shown us, that love, divine love, and projecting love, and what it can do. And so in our walk, we should be looking for these things that has been given to us in the message. We should be looking for these things to manifest in our life. And so when you go through situations in your life, when you love someone, as I said a while ago, when you love, it motivates you. There's something you'll do for someone if you love them. But if you're filial love and they aggravate you, you'll stop doing for them because you don't like what they're doing or whatever. You'll get mad and stomp off and won't speak to one another for days. That's filial love. It's human love. It's reached its limit. And so human love can only go so far. So in our daily walk, when we're going through things and we have situations arrive, we got to come to the place where we realize that what I have resident in me, just me, is not sufficient. Yeah. I don't have the temperament. I don't have the patience. I don't have the love to deal with even myself, but much less anyone else. Yeah. And so as you go through things, if you come and you're confronted with a situation in life and you need to respond to it and you turn around and you grab out of the sack of yourself for some attribute to go and do something, you know what's going to happen. But we've been shown in the Word that there is such a thing of getting into and drawing from God's love, and then let that be the thing that we respond with.
Right.
So when you go through a situation and stuff comes up, you need to stop and say, "Wait a minute, I am a son of God, a daughter of God. I have an end time message. It's been shown me that I do not have to respond to this situation with myself, with filial love, with filial emotions. I don't have to do that. I've got a message, and I'll stop just for a moment and turn to God in prayer and draw from him and ask him, 'God, you come down and you put within me your love, and let that be what I project.'" Right?
Right.
That's our responsibility as believers in this end time message, to be like Christ, is to not be like ourselves. Quit looking for opportunities to respond from ourselves.
Right.
But stop. Take time. Wait. Pray. So that your response comes from him.
Right.
Because when it's your response, you love or you dislike or whatever, you're going to respond accordingly with works and actions and words and things like that. And it's going to cause chaos and all kinds of troubles. But if we know as believers, like it is with everything else in our life, we're confronted with things and we can respond to it in ourselves, or we can reach into what we have down inside and come out and be a Christian in the face of all things. And that's what we're called to do. So we need our love, our emotions, all to be replaced with God's love. And then let that be what we project. Brother Bam said this, and you've heard this, I'm sure, but when divine love is projected, remember, projecting. So not just something, because remember, if you have love for someone, you will project. You will do something. There will be something as a cause from that. So what if divine love comes in? Then it's going to do something.
Right?
And so he said, when divine love is projected, means you can't just hold it to yourself, but it's got to be projected.
Right.
Then he said, sovereign grace. You know, sovereign. God's sovereign. He do what he wants, right? And grace is unmerited favor. So we're none of us is worthy of it, right? But yet God has got this channel where divine love can come, and when that's what's projected, then his sovereign grace will step in. This is what he said. Sovereign grace will step in and produce what love could not carry out. Because you can only go so far with love. So only so far. But when it's God's economy and it's his love, it's his purpose, his program, that when divine love is projected, just like we on the natural, when we love, we'll do something. His love will do something. Right? And he wants us to be channels. And so when his love comes down into us, and it gets projected, then sovereign grace will come in and produce the thing, the object, what it is that the love is about. It'll produce that.
Right.
And so, Brother Branham gives several examples of this. And we'll talk about them for a few minutes. Just here, just a few of them. And so he talks about coming home one day and or being at home one day, and his house was full of people needing prayer and so forth, and it had been all full all day, and he finally got everybody gone, and he went in, and his wife was in the kitchen crying. She said, "Bill, I'm about to go crazy. I haven't been able to fix the kids' supper or food," and so she was just, the kids were fussing and screaming and fighting over stuff, and he said it was a terrible situation, and so he said, "I was tired." Just always remember, you have the opportunity to be selfish. You have an opportunity to express your anger or whatever out of yourself. But as Christians, we're told to pause just for a moment and draw from the resources. And so Brother Ben said, "I was tired." He could have went in there and just, you know, but he said, "You know what?" He said, "I'm going to do something different." And so he went in and he said, "Well, he said, honey, could I take you out to, let's go eat." You know, "Well, I'd have to get the kids ready," and, you know, and she didn't want to do that, you know, because they weren't dressed or whatever and so forth. And so Brother Bram said, he just put on an apron and he started washing dishes, and he started telling his wife, "Honey, there was a dress I seen I'd really like to get you, and I just, I love it, I would like to get it for you," and so forth. And he said, all the while that he's just doing that, you know, he says he's laying his hand over and he's praying, saying, "God, just calm her down, calm her spirit down. Just you know, if I could just get her relaxed," and so forth. And Brother Ben said, he said, "What was I doing?" He said, "I was changing the atmosphere." He said, "Because we as Christians, because we are part of God." Listen, you are part of God. And because you're part of God, you have creative power. Now, you can't necessarily speak of something up here, but for me, I love to build things. I my father is a creator, and I love to design and create things, right? And you have in you his characteristics, some of his, because you're part of God. And so Brother Ben said, you're all little creators. You can change an environment. You can change an atmosphere. And so he was changing, and he's tying this to love being projected. Because he could have said, "I'm the man of this house," you know. But he entered into her suffering. He didn't have to do that. He could have expressed all kinds of manliness and "you did, you know, rah, rah, rah," and just destroyed the whole evening, right? It was already ruined. But he created an atmosphere by entering into the needs of his wife and what she had suffered and what was going through. He entered into that, and when he began to feel that situation for her, then he could begin to project the right kind of thing, and it changed the entire environment, and as soon as she quieted down, the kids quieted down, and they started playing, and the whole thing, everything changed. Because a son of God decided, I'm gonna draw from the virtues of God for this situation rather than just handle it myself. That's what he did. He's telling about the blind man there in Mexico. Here's this man, and way bigger than Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said, this, he come up there and he was blind. And, you know, we could do this. We could just, oh, okay, just Lord help him, you know, just pray and go on. Situation rise. Well, okay, Lord, you know, prayer request comes out over the prayer thing. Lord, just help us, you know, and go on. We could do that. But brother, sister, that's not the way we should do it. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I've seen it. In a group setting, and a prayer request comes through, and somebody punches, they're praying, and I'm sitting there watching, and they're not praying. And I'm not trying to be dogmatic, but what I'm trying to say is that we're here to get a job done, and that's to represent him, to draw from him and express him. And so we can take just, oh, you know, without a feeling in it, Lord, I pray for my sister Pandy. That's not what we're supposed to do. Just like Brother Branham, he could just handle it. This man comes through the prayer line, he's blind. Brother Branham could have just said, you know, but he stopped, just like I said the other day, to respect, re-look at it. Look at it again, examine it. He looked at this man, and instead of just praying for him, he just going through his mind and said, this man's probably never had a good meal in his life. He's barefooted. My shoes won't fit him. My jacket won't fit him. What was Brother Branham doing? He was trying to enter into the suffering that man had been through. Right? To see what that person's up against. Because listen, every one of you is going through something. We all do. Some worse than others. It's cyclical, different time. But he was looking at this man. He said he's probably never had a good meal, never had a good place to sleep, never had a good suit of clothes. He's barefooted. And he said, and now he's blind. He's in a dark world. He can't see. He said, how cruel nature or Satan has been to him. He began to enter in to the sufferings of that man. And of course, you know, when he prayed for the man, as soon as he began to pray, the man's eyes come open completely and can see perfectly well and rejoicing. Because someone or divine love come in and was expressed. He was talking about the maniac up there in Tacoma, Washington, that came to the platform, and there were 6,000 people inside and about that many people outside. And that man had gotten out of an insane asylum, and he already went to another church and had beat up a preacher, broke his bones or whatever. I don't know what he did, but he great big fella compared to Brother Branham. You know, Brother Branham was only about 128 pounds. It's a little bitty fella. This guy was about 250 or something like that, probably about my size. He comes up on the platform and challenges Brother Branham, says, you're out here pretending to be a man of God, and I'll break every bone in your body. And Brother Branham said he could do it. But Brother Branham said, but instead of being angry at the man and despising the man, he said, something happened. And he said, I loved him. He said, I felt sorry for that man. And he could have just dealt with it quickly, but he stops and let's stop and analyze with the Word of God. Let's look at it through the eyes of what's going on. And this is what Brother Branham was doing. He said, I looked at the man and I loved him. He said, I felt sorry for him. And he said, I thought, that he said, you wouldn't do that to me. He said, you were created to love. That's not you that wants to do that to me. That's the devil that's got you wound up like that. See? We want to just lash out at the person. Back up and say, listen, it's not my brother or my sister. It's the devil that's working at something here. And so he began to look at that man and he said, you wouldn't be that way. You were created to love. And that's the devil that's done that. And so he said, I loved him, and I felt sorry for him. And so I don't know if you know the rest of the story, but as the man began to come to Brother Branham with his fist drawn back, Brother Branham said something in him said, he said, because you've come to challenge the Spirit of God today, you'll fall across my feet. And the man said, I'll show you whose feet I'm going to come across. And you know, he said, Satan come out of him, and the man fell there right on Brother Branham's feet. And the people had to come and move him out of the way. But Brother Branham tied this. These are all stories he's telling in divine love when it's projected. That situation could have been totally different. But it was the way it was because of a prophet. And God wanting us to hear and see in the Word what has risen up and has gone before us that we can follow. These stories are here for a reason. So that we can follow them. That we can look for these things to happen in our lives. And they won't happen in your life if you don't step back and say, God, I can handle this in myself. I can handle it with Fidio. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to push that off and say no to myself. I'm going to die daily and carry my cross, and I'm going to draw from you and let you be what I put on display. And so he tells also the story of the bull, a big bull that was that had killed a man, and signs were up everywhere, and Brother Ram was going to pray for somebody. Walk across the field, he forgot all about it. He was supposed to carry a gun with him, forgot, left the gun in the truck. He was going to pray for this man, and had forgot all about it. Next thing you know, he's out in this field, and here's this bull rises up, and it's about 30 yards from him or something like that, and he's 250 yards or 200 yards from the nearest fence, and no trees anywhere. And the thing jumps up, and it rakes his horn in the dirt, throws it up in the air, and Brother Ram said, well, okay, this is where it's at. This is my end. He said, be gored to death by a bull. That's not that bad. You know, he just thought, well, this is it. You know, I don't have my gun. I can't outrun him. Can't get up a tree. And he said, but here that come. That divine love. He said, I love that thing. And he said, again, in his thinking, he's like, Now put yourself in the bull's, right? He just being who he is, right? He's just a bull. He's just a brute beast, right? And now you've come into his domain, right? And so Brother Bram's like, you know, I'm sorry. I've disturbed you. I mean, he's never heard the story, right? I've disturbed you. This is your, I'm sorry. I'm a servant of the Lord, your creator, and I'm going to pray for a man, and I'm sorry that I have disturbed you. It'd have to take something besides what's within us to respond like that, right? Amen. If I couldn't run fast enough, I think I'd start trying to fly or something. But Brother Rem said he loved it, and he said, here he come, this thing charging at him like that, and he said, this love came over me, he said, and I was no more afraid of that bull than I am these brothers that were sitting behind the platform behind him. And that bull ran up there, and he said he stopped about 5 or 10 feet from him, just throwed on the brakes. And Brother Ram said he looked so depleted. Said he looked this way. Yeah. Just turned around, walked over, and laid down. Because divine love was projected. Totally changed the situation. Had the same thing happen when he hit the lawnmower, hit that bunch of hornets. Not bees, not yellow jackets, but hornets. And the same thing happened. He said, I wish this could be all like this all the time. This divine love. He said, I wish it could be like that all the time. Which shows you that it's not like that all the time, but it's going to be where we're going.
Amen.
But we can draw from it here. Well, how can I get that? Well, make sure that you're not having iniquity abound in your life. Mm-hmm. Right? That's one thing.
Right.
But to see it in the Word and say, God, you've shown it. I've seen it. The preacher has rose up in the Word, and I'm following it. I want this in my life. I want you to come down. And I humbly say I've experienced it a time or two. A divine love. where I was preaching one time, and a man and his wife were making fun of me in service while I was preaching. And I loved them. And I felt sorry for them because I knew that there was consequences coming because of what they were doing. So Brother Bram said that he had that same feeling, and he said, I've just served you. He said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bump your nest. And he said, I've been trying to pray for God's people. I come out here and mow, and then I got to go pray for more people and go mow. And he said, I'm sorry. He said, just in the name of Jesus Christ, just go back into your home. And they did. He tells a story about the possum that had been, I don't know if it got run over by a car, got chewed up by some dogs or whatever it was. The mother possum had 9 little bitty baby possums in her. Comes down and up his driveway, right up. And just to not to go through the whole story, but Brother Bram said, just a day or two before that, a colored lady had killed him. She had a baby out of wedlock. She killed that baby and thrown it in the river, and the police come arrest her, and that was in the news. And he said, come here, Gene, Leo. I want you to look at this. Here's this possum about to die. It's got flies been bloating all over it. And these little babies, and said, she's got more mother than that woman that killed her baby, because she's sitting here. When we try to touch her with that rake, and she's trying to bite that rake, and she's trying to defend the little babies with what little life she has left. She's defending her babies. Yeah, and so she basically, the next morning, the Lord speaks to Brother Branham and says, that possum has come here like a lady, and she's waited outside your door for 24 hours for you to pray for her. And Brother Branham apologized. He said, I didn't know. If you listen to Sister Becky's testimony, she was watching this when it happened outside. Brother Branham went out there and prayed for that thing. He said, God, I'm sorry. And that possum jumps up, gathers them babies, and goes right down that road to the end, out to the street, and turns around and looks back at him as though she's saying, thank you, sir. And then she crosses the road and goes into the woods. Divine love. He tied that to divine love when the divine love was being projected. What? He was entering himself into the situation. Everybody around him was saying, kill that thing. But he began to look at that. Here's a mother. She just wants to live and take care of her. Brother Ramon, when he was telling that, he said, I went for a drive and there was a mangy dog, and I went to pick it up, and my wife said, You're not gonna take that thing home. It's all eaten up with fleas and stuff. Brother Ramon said, but it has a right to live. It wants to live, and it has a right to. And he took it home and fixed it, and it became a healthy collie dog. So he entered into, he said, somebody dropped this dog out here because it was mangy. Somebody didn't care about it, but he did, right? And somebody, everybody else was saying, kill that possum. It can't live. The babies are going to die, and Brother Rams, but he entered in and he said, look at her. She's a mother trying to take care of those babies. What did he do? He entered into her standpoint, right? It can't always be about me or you. It can't be about us. It's about the other person. And when it's always about me, it's always about us. It's filial. You see what I'm saying? And when it's all about me, then I'm not always going to dish out the thing that's right, because it's all going to be temperamental.
Right.
But when you enter into that other person's need, that other situation, and you enter in and you begin to enter in and feel what they're feeling, now it's not filio. Do you hear me? Now it's not filio when you enter into them, because if you enter into that, it's not yours. It's not your feelings. Now it's their feelings. It's a different love. And when you go to do that, and then you begin to project and come into that, now faith can kick in. Now sovereign grace can kick in. Now things can happen that could never have happened any other way if you just stayed within yourself.
Right.
And responding within yourself. So, Brother Bam said, it has to be projected. It has to be projected. It can't just be there in you, whatever. It has to be projected. And so when you're facing situations in life, don't look for your love to respond. Don't look for your aggravation to respond. Don't look, draw from yourself, but look for divine love. Look for God's love. Look for a love that enters into the need of the person that you're talking to. Brother Barrett says there has to be a feeling in it. I know we say, well, we don't go by feelings, we go by faith. And this is different, right? Because faith worketh by love, and love, there has to be a feeling. It has to be something happen. Like Brother Barrett said, I wish it would be this way all the time. So, this is in when divine love projects. Brother Bram was talking about, he says, like Paul Rader once said, he was going to go to work one morning, and he said he and his wife had had a disagreement, and as he started out, he kissed her and waved goodbye, and she was crying, and said he always walked to the end of the gate, he turned back and said bye, and she said goodbye. And so that morning, the same routine, parting time, he said goodbye and she said goodbye, but they had had a fuss. Okay? But they went through the motions, because you can go through the motions, but that don't mean it's right. So he's saying, yeah, we went through the same motions, bye, kissed, everything like that, but they had a fuss and things weren't right. So he went out to the street and went down the street and began to think, what if something happened to me today? What if something happened to her? And said, and I know we'd never meet again on this earth. And he got to thinking about it, said God began to deal with him, and he ran back to the house real quick, jerked open the door, and she was standing behind the door still weeping. Said he never said one word to her, just pulled her around and kissed her again and turned back around and went out, went down to the gate and turned back and said goodbye. And she said goodbye and latched the gate. And he said the difference was the last time there was a feeling in it. He meant it. So that's the way it is. There's got to be a feeling in it. There's got to be a feeling in it, saints. Yeah, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, but there's got to be a feeling in here. There's got to be a feeling between us. Amen. That we really love one another. And it's not just a put on. It's not something we just act like. And how do you get that? Well, you got to manage your life. Manage your iniquity. Get rid of those things. And ask God to love and live through us like he wants to love and live through us. So that there's a feeling in it. And not a filial feeling, but a God feeling. That's what it has to be. There's got to be a feeling in it. Because natural type spiritual, right? Love in the natural. There's got to be something there. It's got to be real. Not just going through the motions, coming to church every Sunday. Yeah, anybody can do that. A drunkard could come in and sit in church every week and pay his tithes. That don't mean he's right. But it's got to be something real there. So he says, there's got to be a feeling in it. There's got to be something that's projected from you to meet the person that you're talking to. So there's an object of your love, right? If you really love, there's something there, someone you love, a purpose or whatever. He said, you see, friends, if you don't enter into fellowship, now when he's saying fellowship, but you don't enter into the needs of that person, like we've described, if you don't enter into fellowship, if there's something in you doesn't cry out for each other, there's something that doesn't project a love. He said, you know, people are not so foolish as they understand whether or not you're put on. They understand. Wildlife understands, see? You have to enter into that fellowship. When he says wildlife, you know, we've all said, yeah, a wasp won't sting you if you're not afraid of it. How many's heard that? Right? I've never tested it to see, because every time I see one, I'm afraid of it, you know. But they say that, but is that what this is? The fact that love came over? Brother Graham said, how could you kill me, to that bull, I think it was, and said, how could you kill me when I love you? Now, if it's filial love, he might. But here's the point I'm getting at. When it's God's love, it never fails. It will always handle the situation right. Because it's God. So when the bulls charged him, because it was God's love and that God's love was being projected, it just took all that desire out of the bull to kill him. Took all the desire out of those hornets to sting him. You follow me? So we have a responsibility as Christians, as we live to people around us, to love them like God loves. And it only happens when you surrender yourself to that kind of walk, that kind of life daily, resolved to live Christ and to not handle things in yourself. It makes all the difference in the world. You know, they say a soft answer turneth away wrath. It does. I could say words here right now and have every one of you just smoking mad at me in 5 minutes. I could. You could do the same, right? In ourself. But if I'm standing here or you're standing there in divine love, there is not a thing I can say that would make you not love me. You follow me? Because it's God's love.
Right.
That's the realm we're going to. And the scripture said we've tasted of that realm to come right now. We've tasted of that heavenly gift. And so, he said, wildlife understands, and you have to enter into the fellowship. You can't just go through life just always what I need, what I want, me, me, me. You that are parents, you know that when them kids come along, it's not about you. You got it. You sacrifice 24/7 for them. And they don't understand it. And sometimes they, you know, you're like, they don't even respect this. They don't even appreciate this. But you know that when they get older and they start having kids, they'll figure it out. Yeah. Right? Because you know how it works. But staring Calvary in the face, the cross, bearing your cross is living for others. And there's no way that you can experience divine love in your heart for someone when you're being selfish. Mm-hmm. You've got to stop and say no to yourself and try to enter in. And remember, I hope you understand, if it's all about me, I'm gonna deal with this the way I feel and the way I want it and the way it makes me feel. But if I push that to the side and I enter in, I'll begin to feel what the subject I'm dealing with. When I begin to feel what they feel, it's not feeding your love anymore. It's God, right? As a Christian, when we enter into that, then something can happen. Why? Because it takes a sacrifice of self to enter into the needs of that one. That's the thing we got to remember. And so, as the musicians get ready to come, we want to just address these things in our life and realize that we have such an opportunity because we've seen the Word express these things to us in this day. The prophet shared this with us. The divine interpreter of the Word brought forth and put on magnetic tape so we could hear it and know that the Word, the ministry, the priesthood has risen up in our day and has gone forth with these things, and we can follow it. We can have it in our lives too. Amen. I mean, believe that.
Amen.
But only by bearing your cross. You know, it seems like every week I come in here and it seems like, yeah, all the time I'm talking about surrendering your life to live for others. But how can I say anything different? Because that's the cross. That's exactly what it is. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Lord, as we come to the end of the service, we appreciate, Lord, this time of fellowship around your word. We appreciate, Lord, your Holy Spirit being here to just help us in the laboring of the word to send it forth and to speak into the hearts of your people. We ask, God, that you just seal these things away. May they mean something to them. Lord, when your people go through troubles and trials, may they remember these things. May they meditate upon them until they're not just short-term memory, but it's in long-term. They remember this for their life. Lord, that this is a way that brings victory, not just for themselves, Lord, but for the others around them, Lord. We're here to live, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to enter into the situation that's really going on in the lives of people, the lives and the situations there. Help us to see it through your eyes, Lord, and to embrace that kind of fellowship Lord, that would give an opportunity for you to be able to do what you did when you so loved this world that you produced a sacrifice for us. We thank you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you.